And also our next guest, who's emerging as one of the finest and bravest thinkers on topics of race. His name is Charles Love. He is an author and the executive director of Seeking Educational Excellence. And his new book is a must read. It comes out in September. You can pre-order it now. Race Crazy is the title, and subtitled BLM 1619 and the Progressive Racism Movement, by Charles Love. Charles Love, welcome to WABC. How are you?
Fantastic. Always talk to, great to talk to you, Greg.
Thank you, Charles. So, Charles, real quick, what was your reaction when you heard that Major League Baseball had caved to the far left and would be moving its All-Star game from Atlanta?
Well, you know me. So, you know, initially I rolled my eyes and I shrugged my shoulders because it's what they do. And, you know, it's just another step in the wrong direction of what's happening. I wasn't surprised by it. What got me was, you know, maybe they're right. You got to stand up for people being treated wrong, a bully on the playground. You know, okay. So if that's the step you're going to take to stop racism, that's where you go. But wait a minute. I wasn't really paying attention. Let me find out about this law. Here's the funniest thing. I'm Googling, trying to find out, what does the law really say? Everybody's telling me it's racist. Let me find out for myself. And what I found was, I don't know, 30, 40 articles from every major publication telling me why it was racist. But nobody put the racist part in the article. All they said was, we got to do something. It's racist. We got to do something. And when I finally found it, I got the president telling me that you can't vote after 5 o'clock on election day. You can't have water. And none of that stuff is in the law. So the bigger issue is that they're doing this out of pressure and haste. They're wrong, and no one says a word about it, except one side, which makes it seem like it's a one-side, you know, battle, and you're just trying to protect the evil Republicans. Well, no, be honest. If you want to have a public debate, let's have the debate, but let's have it based on the premise of what it really says, not what you want to make up that the law says.
Charles Love, wow, you are so right. I had a similar experience. I have the law right in front of me. It's, gosh, it's 95 pages. It is a pain in the neck to read. They use that that legislative language that's kind of hard to decipher at points. But what Joe Biden and what the far left are saying about this law, as you just stated, is not true. And do you think, is the far left, are they conscious of their deception, or are they just lazy and going along with the already predetermined narrative that somebody else came up with, and they just run with it? Because, quite frankly, you just jump on your Twitter, you put it out there. And that's far easier and far more rewarding sometimes for some people than sitting down and reading the damn law in its entirety.
Yeah. If it were one or the other, we might have a fighting chance. We might not need everyone on board to fight back. But unfortunately, it's both, right? You have some people who are explicitly intentional in being dishonest and doing whatever they can to get this through. And that can happen anywhere. If I want to win a debate, you know, maybe I cheat a little bit. That's just human nature. But the problem is that we have such a large number of people who are basically lemmings. They see that clickbait has been the most dangerous thing to happen to our society. Because what happens is you put out an ad and I say, Greg Kelly rape, right? And everybody's like, oh, we got to run from Greg Kelly. He did this. And then we're smart enough to put an apology in a retraction and correct it and say, well, we were wrong. We thought it was like, but this is true. Except we do it 5 days later on page 12 and no one ever reads it. So now for the next 20 years, everybody knows you did something that you didn't do and they don't know it was retracted. And when people try to prove it's the case, they don't believe it. They're like, nope, these are facts. And
well, one thing,
happens. No one's reading the news.
One thing about my case that you brought up, and actually one thing that I'm gratified about, is that the headlines that exonerated me were just as big as the headlines that originally condemned me. They were just
as
big.
Rare.
It is rare. It was a very public case and situation. So I do point that out. But it lingers, as you mentioned. It doesn't really. You know, things are always out there. That's a little bit different, but hey, let me ask you this, by the way. You first came to, well, the late, great Rush Limbaugh was a fan of yours. You wrote a very compelling piece. Now, let's just clear the air here. You happen to be a person of color yourself. You're African-American. You have insight.
You know, I don't allow you to call me a PLC.
A PLC?
And
what's that?
The term's not PLC anyway. It's BIPOC.
What? Wait, what's the latest term again?
It's BIPOC. Black, Indigenous, and people of color, of which I'm just black. But,
oh,
yes.
Boy. Yeah, yes, I know. Yes. Well, you know, whatever. All right, so you're that.
Yeah,
you
I'm
stop
that.
Busting my chops. All right, so here's the deal. You know how the woke left, even mm-hmm. elite woke left, have a preconceived notion of what it's like to be black and who's black in America. Can you take us through that, please? What is their idea of what the black community is like?
I think I come from a place that most black people realize this, but they won't say it because they're not. I don't even think they don't want to. They just don't think about it. It's not front of mind. But one of the biggest problems we have is the perceptions of black. And it comes from everyone because it's in the narrative. And what I try to point out is the left does it for whatever, some for good, you know, trying to, they think they're helping, and some just because they honestly believe it. But we have a situation now through the media entertainment for years that has created a large part of the populace that thinks that black life is terrible. Black life, most black people are poor, most black people are uneducated, they're criminals and all this other stuff. And that's how people base whatever they do. That's how people who are racist say, see, this is why blacks are bad. And that's how people who want to help blacks say, see, we have to help them because they're all poor. When everybody I know in the black community has a pretty good life. They're not all wealthy, but all white people aren't wealthy. There are plenty of white people, people of all different backgrounds, races, religious, that are, you know, middle class, doing all right. They're not rich. They get to go on vacation one time, but they have happy lives. They have wonderful kids. They're happy. And that's the average black experience. The average black person is not being harassed by police. They're not, you know, high school dropouts, and they're not criminals. And I keep, you know, like when we spoke before, I said, do you know that while we keep all talk about the numbers being higher in the black community, which is a fact, that violent crime committed by blacks is only 2.7% of the black population? So why aren't we talking about the other 97 and change?
So right? wait, it's 2.7% of the black population? That's the figure?
I don't remember the point. I know it's under 3%.
What is it for white people?
It's probably, I want to say one. Well, it went down. It used to be a sixth of that. Now it's maybe, you know, black is maybe 3.5 times because before the last year, which was crazy, crime had been going down across the board and faster in the black community. So it went from 6-1 to 3.5-1. So when people would say blacks are 6 times more likely to commit violent crime, they say, yes, that's a fact. But what they don't tell you is that in the white community, it was 0.25%.
Yep. So it's all, right. these are low numbers, lower than people might think. All right. So where do we go from here? The conversation that's happening nationally is a silly one with a lot of people afraid to speak out, to speak the truth, because the far left has hijacked this narrative. I'm not afraid. Yeah. You're not afraid. There are a handful of others who are not afraid. But I feel like the culture, by and large, you can only speak about this issue in one way or else you're in danger of cancellation, being branded a racist or whatever, even if you're none of those things and your heart is in the right place.
Right. Well, we have to change that. So I am happy to see and hear all these other groups that are popping up, mostly on the center left, which is even great, on college campuses, everywhere. They're coming up with these different organizations to push back against this. And we have the numbers. We're just silent. So if enough people, regardless of politics, comes out and says, you can't call everybody racist. You can't call everybody who's white racist. You can't call everyone who disagrees with you racist, you know, and we need to have, like you say, the conversation's stupid. So it needs to be done better. That's why my book is so important, because I do two things in the book, if nothing else. I teach people who understand that this is wrong, but are afraid to say it because they don't know how to say it and not get canceled, how to say it and not get canceled. And I point out in such clear fashion, using their own words, what this progressive racism, as I call it, what this movement really wants and what it really believes. And you can't, I put them in a box. You can't get your way out of it, because I don't use Greg Kelly or Charles Love or Rush Limbaugh's words. I quote what they say. So when you try to tell me as a liberal person that say, I understand the problems, this is, you just don't understand what defund the police means, Charles. I say, no, here is their words. Yeah. Here is a quote from them, and this is what they believe. So how can you get around that?
So the book is an important one. It's called Race Crazy, BLM, 1619, and the Progressive Racism Movement by Charles Love. You can pre-order it on Amazon. comes out this September. Charles Love, I appreciate it so much. Congratulations on the book, and thanks for being with us.